And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Mark, it's Doofa-palooza time.
We're getting pretty close.
We had Mike Axon, the creator of Doof, which is food backwards, on the show. It's a great initiative, a great website, a great resource to introduce children in a really fun way to food choices and food literacy. And Mike is also the creator of Doofa-palooza. It's a crazy Sunday, May 27th festival, 22nd festival at Jack London Square in Oakland, here in the San Francisco Bay Area, with, I don't know, tens of thousands of kids being expected. We have him on the phone again. Thanks, Mike Axon, for joining us today. Great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show again.
Yes. So things must be getting pretty exciting around the office there, Mike.
May 22nd, yeah. Sunday.
They're getting exciting and doofy. It's gone incredibly well. It's the amount of things that we've got going. I think when I talked to you last, we were somewhat speculative. And it's just massive. There's just so many different things going on.
So what will people be able to see and experience? What will kids be able to experience? It's Sunday, May 22nd at Jack London Square, starting at what, 10 o'clock?
10 to 5, yeah.
10 to 5. And so when you get there at 10 o'clock, what's the day like?
Well, I won't even try to describe probably, 30 or 40 different activities. If any of you are at Eat Real, it's a little bit like Eat Real in the sense that we have food activities and we've got food trucks, but we've scaled that back to make space for, first of all, for families, because Eat Real is a little bit crowded for kids and families, and also a big, big emphasis on activities. And just to not to try to describe all of it, there's going to be five main areas. There's going to be what we call the Sorcerer's World, S-O-U-R-C-E-R-E-R. And those are a lot of the interactive activities that allow kids to and families to play with food, to actually be involved in a food-making process and to actually consume that food. And then we have a main stage with some very well-known people who will be appearing, including Joey Altman and Cal Peternell, is one of the chefs at Chez Panisse, and Chef Gino, who is actually coming up from L.A., who's doing something called handmade pasta and hand gestures. He's going to be teaching Italian as he teaches kids to make pasta.
That's fantastic. And I hear the famous Mark Mulcahy will be there too, right?
Yes, Mark Mulcahy. And in fact, you guys have joined us as media sponsors. We have a bunch of different media sponsors. So having you guys there is going to be fantastic.
Mark, what will you do, Mark?
Well,
on stage?
Actually, what I was planning on doing was bringing the most awesome food that these kids produce that these kids have ever tasted. So I'm going to basically be there. And
no, you can't really do that because that's my role. Like,
what do you mean?
I will be there too at 11 o'clock, and I will bring the best peaches.
Well,
and we talked about that.
Well, you can't possibly have the best peaches if that's what I'm bringing.
Yeah, no, I know that's what you think, but it's actually, yeah, you'll see that my peaches that day actually will be the best peaches.
Here's where Doof comes in to participate in the creative process. You guys bring your ideas, you bring your food, you bring your passion, and then we turn it doofy. So I'm actually thinking you guys need to have a battle for the most delicious produce.
It's on.
Well,
you're on. You're on, Mike.
Yeah, that would be tricky. I don't think we can do that. But yes, okay, we'll consider. Very fun.
Be a battle where everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the best battle where everybody wins.
I just hope Helga brings his A game, because he's not really a produce guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. No, you better put really warm peaches in your basket, my friend. What's the logistic like, Mike? Mike Axon, the creator of Doofapalooza, this coming Sunday, May 22nd, 10 to 5 at Jack London Square. What can people, is it a free event or
It is a free event, and I want to acknowledge the incredible work that Lisa Bullwinkle and my Doof partner, Scott Gelfin, have been doing, because Lisa created the Solano Stroll, and she just has been incredible in the work she's done just to make this super organized. It's going to be a great experience for all the merchants who are participating and the sponsors who are participating, and it's going to be a great experience for people. And so basically, when you get there, there's just going to be a bunch of different choices. There's going to be a street food section. There's something we've created called the iDoof Multimedia Center, which allows kids to come in and learn. There's going to be authors, and there's going to be an opportunity for people, for kids to actually participate as part of our Doof blogging program and to film videos. I'm very excited about this area because it's particularly an area that suits my background. Free Range Studios is going to be there. They're going to teach kids to animate with food. And these guys are the masters. We've done food animation ourselves, but we got Free Range to come in, and they created something called Grocery Store Wars. And if you haven't seen their site, go on YouTube or go to the Free Range Studio site and check out Grocery Store Wars. It's amazing. It's basically Star Wars as told by vegetables, and the drama is about getting good food to people.
Yeah, Chewbacca is chewing broccoli, or right? I think so.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that you know, there's about 1,000 of those types of in-jokes that are just great, and it's really entertaining for kids. It's really entertaining for adults. Yeah.
It helps if you're a Star Wars fan, but then who's not, right? So, yes.
Exactly. and so there, Erica Priggen and Ruben DeLuna, their head animator, are going to be there. So that's really a fantastic thing, but that's really kind of the tip of the iceberg lettuce, I should say.
Yes, the iceberg lettuce. Everything in and around food, absolutely tailored for kids. Mm-hmm. A fun day, May 22nd, Sunday, at Jack London Square, Doofapalooza. You can go to Food Backwards, literally foodbackwards.com for Doof, and find... Yes. Everything that's going on that day. And again, it's a free event. And you expect Mike Axon, the founder, with us right now here in Organic Conversation. Mike, how many people are you expecting, roughly?
Expecting 20,000.
And mostly kids.
Well, it's kids and families, and the secret about Doofapalooza, because we had two of these events at Google, is that adults will show up, and they will sometimes show up without kids, which we certainly welcome. So having it be a kids theme sort of gives us an excuse to create all kinds of fun activity.
Yeah, adults only in a company with kids. Love that.
So we're expecting kids from 3 to 83.
Yes. That sounds wonderful. Thank you again for joining us today, and good luck with next week's event. Mike Axon, the creator of Doof, which is foodbackwards.com, and the upcoming kids event at Jack London Square, Doofapalooza. Good luck, Mike, and we'll see you next Sunday.
We look forward to it,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much. Okay.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're celebrating Mother's Month. It's May. We are excited about our guest today, a man who has created a bold new initiative to increase kids' food literacy, right along the lines of Doofapalooza. More on that when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned. we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is all about nourishment through knowledge and experience. With us in the studio is Kirk Bergstrom, the founder and executive director of WorldLink, a nonprofit organization dedicated to education for sustainability, and also the creator or co-creator, because I think it's a huge collaborative effort that happened, of Nourish, a bold new initiative, a curriculum for food, to teach food literacy among children. Kirk, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
It's so fantastic to have you, because Nourish is taking off. It was just launched, and the response has been phenomenal. But before we dive in, a little bit about you. Kirk Bergstrom, that sounds very Swedish to me.
Yes, it is.
So coming from a similar geographic background than you do, why do you attribute that to your strong sense of responsibility, of social engagement? You have been involved in initiatives like this for most, if not all, your life. Why is that in your genes? What is grabbing you in this world and work that you do? And what does WorldLink do? What have you done before?
Ah, it's a great question. I think that sense of kind of moral responsibility does come from our family and our culture. And I can probably point to my mother, who is still at age 80, a super volunteer in her community, and really always looking at how you build community. Right. And we're fortunate that food is one of the great ways to do that. So my background is, I did found the organization WorldLink 22 years ago, really with the mission of how do you educate and inspire people to participate in real world issues. And so that's food, that's energy, and other such things.
And so as a filmmaker, you touched on energy just now. You have been involved in projects even on PBS level, right? Can you talk about that for?
Sure. Well, when we think about social change, we see that as a process that couples education and civic engagement. And so when you want to educate and inform a lot of people, you know, media is a great tool for that. So we like to put at the heart of our programs something like a PBS special or a PBS series. And before Nourish, we produced a program called PowerShift, which focused on energy and sustainability. And then we now have actually being broadcast now on PBS, a half-hour program called Nourish. And our tagline for the program and for the initiative is, what's the story of your food? And we think that's a great inquiry question to get people engaged in a bigger picture view.
Mm-hmm. And those are award-winning documentaries, right? I know that the Power Shift Energy and Sustainability that you created was a winner of one or two National Emmy Awards.
Actually, that was a program that even preceded PowerShift that was called Spaceship Earth, Our Global Environment. And we produced that to really expand people's context to think about being planetary citizens, yes, not just local citizens. So, yeah, there's a real history of doing work that I think is kind of breakthrough in the sense that we're tackling big issues and then bringing a youth perspective. So our programs have this backbone of hearing authentic youth voices, their concerns, their aspirations. And we always find that that's so inspiring for people, and it reminds them, you know, what really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's this whole notion that kids are not really interested in their food, which is dead wrong. And even issues like global warming, we say during the show a few times in previous shows, when if you ask this amazing study out there right now, if you ask children what is their greatest concern, they will say climate change, right? I mean, they are completely dialed in with what's going on whatever level. All this now, your entire background, prompted you to tackle food literacy. And Nourish was born. What's the story? How was it received in the beginning? Who came up with the idea, and what has it shaped into now? What were you seeing when this idea was born?
Well, doing a media program and an educational initiative around food and sustainability had been on our shortlist for a long time. And we were kind of finishing up focused work on this PowerShift initiative that dealt with energy. And it was very clear that the food movement was really picking up steam.
Yes, you could that was see when? It. What, a few years ago?
It was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, there were books and films and organizations, and you could just sense that the sort of gestalt was changing. And we thought, you know, it's really time now to provide kind of a big picture view that helps people make the connections between all these issues that they're hearing about, whether it's organic or fair trade or local food or sustainable agriculture. And so that's when we decided to pursue Nourish. And like any big initiative, you need to figure out how it's going to get funded. So we approached the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, which had a real history of supporting initiatives yes. in the food and society area.
Yeah, wonderful work that they have supported over the last years and years.
Exactly.
Really fantastic.
And we laid out a vision for what we might do, and they generously funded it, and that kind of kicked off the initiative. And from the beginning, we've really viewed it as this multifaceted initiative. So there's a media piece, which is this PBS special called Nourish Food Plus Community. We've also edited this incredible collection of 54 short films, a minute to 2 minutes each, that are sort of one big idea per film about the food movement. Many of those are already available on our website, www.nourishlife.org. Some are on our YouTube channel. Some can be downloaded through iTunes. So they're readily available. And then at the kind of formal education side of this, we wanted to develop some curriculum that would get into classrooms and really bring this notion of understanding your food system into, you know, the educational experience of students. So we partnered with the Center for Ecoliteracy, which is based in Berkeley, and developed a unit that has 6 learning activities. It concludes with action projects that students can take in their own communities. And it's just a terrific package for schools.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio, speaking about food literacy for children, is Kirk Bergstrom, the founder and executive director of WorldLink, a nonprofit dedicated to education for sustainability, and also the co-creator of the Nourish initiative, which is both a curriculum for schools as well as a set of educational tools available online and through other media forms.
So, Kirk, before we dive into the curriculum, I'd like to know a little bit more about these little short 1-2 minute videos you were saying that actually take an issue and are able to kind of give people like a synopsis or just enough to where you kind of understand it. Can you describe them a little bit more for our listeners, if so that if someone wanted to go check them out, they'd know what to expect?
Well, they flow out of a lot of material that we shot for this PBS special. So we had the good fortune of interviewing some real thought leaders in the food movement, Michael Pollan, Anna LaPay, Bryant Terry, who's a eco chef, and others. And so we had this great footage, and we wanted to distill it into these kind of, you know, video tapas, if you will, bite-sized kind of pieces.
I like that.
And so they range from, you know, the very basic, like we have one with Michael Pollan that we had on our website during Earth Week called From the Soil. Why is the soil so important mm-hmm. when we think about eating and sustainability? Right now we have one up featuring Nadine Burke, who is a pediatrician in the Bayview Hunters Point area of San Francisco. And she talks a lot about the connection between food and health. You know, we've got one on sustainable farming. One of the people we interviewed was Nigel Walker, who runs an organic farm, Eat Well. And we have shorts on cooking and eating together and school lunch. And
Cameron Diaz.
And Cameron Diaz, who is the host and narrator of our PBS show. So it's a wonderful set, and it's a way to kind of dip in and say, what do I want to learn more about? And in a minute or 2 minutes, get this, you know, little pearl of wisdom from someone who has really thought about it. And we'll also be publishing a DVD with all 54 of these short films in about a month. So we'll make sure to promote that, and that'll be another resource for people.
So how are these being used? You said these are video tapas, little bite-sized pieces, a few minutes long, really diving into the heart of that topic. People can stream them off your website, which is nourishlife.org. great, well-organized, great website, tons of information, and still kept in a way that is entertaining and engaging and inviting. So if you go to, what did I just click on, videos, you have all these little short, few minute long topic trailers, synapses, as Mark said. How do you intend for people to use them? In schools or just for personal education? Like what have people, what's the feedback you're getting?
They're really flexible, which is great. So they can just be a learning tool from home, or you can stream them on your, you know, mobile phone, whatever. So we think online will be a natural way that a lot of people will view them. I think where they really can be effective, though, is as thought starters, as discussion tools. So imagine in a classroom, you're going to explore a unit on agriculture, and you want to look at something like sustainable farming. You know, you can cue that, you know, 1 to 2 minute film up and get the brains firing like, oh, okay, that helps me to understand what this is all about.
Yes, I can see it, I hear it.
Exactly. That's right. You open a world for the learner. And I think actually in a classroom, these short films are really effective because you want to engage the students rather than have it be a passive thing. So it kind of gets that conversation started. We're finding a lot of our nonprofit partners are using these for things like workshops, you know, presentations to city councils, to policymakers.
I'm sure.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, I think they really serve that role of opening a conversation. And we say that the purpose of Nourish as an initiative is to open a meaningful conversation about food and sustainability, particularly for schools and communities. So that's what we're trying to do.
Kirk Bergstrom, the executive director and founder of World Link, a nonprofit dedicated to education for sustainability, and also the creator of Nourish, a bold new initiative for specifically children and food literacy for kids. Two parts, the curriculum, which we will talk about after the break, and nourishlife.org, a great website with lots of information, among them a whole bunch of wonderful little short videos on specific topics as they relate to the food world. You're listening to an Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned.
I stare at my reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself?
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com.
And we're back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is all about nourishment through knowledge and experience. With us in the studio is Kirk Bergstrom, the founder and executive director of WorldLink, a nonprofit organization dedicated to education for sustainability. And among many initiatives, also the creator of the Nourish curriculum. Kirk, thanks again for being here. And you spoke about the two parts of this bold new initiative to bring food literacy to children. One is a kind of set of informational materials, including wonderful little video tapas that can be accessed through your website, nourishlife.org. And the other component is the curriculum, really, for schools and educators.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the curriculum. I remember back when I was when I had my own produce department and I worked with a lot of local farmers, I did a program called Farmers Food and Fun, where we would go into the classroom. But all we had was a slide projector that showed pictures of insects on the farm and some fresh produce to kind of get them. And I can just imagine that what this is all, what's available now for the kids. And so what can you give us a little background, a little idea what the curriculum looks like?
Oh, I'd be delighted. Well, the curriculum was developed to be a companion piece with this DVD that we've created called Nourish Food Plus Community. And that DVD has this PBS special and 11 of these short films. And the curriculum itself was really inspired by asking the question, how do we create food literacy? And I should define that because it's a new term for many people. The simple definition we use is food literacy is understanding the story of your food from farm to table and back to the soil. So it's really looking at that full cycle that sometimes is invisible to us. And it's so important that kids bring a systems view to this, where they can see the connections, where they can see the different issues. So the curriculum really is held together by this large inquiry question, what's the story of your food? And there are six learning activities. I should say that the first edition of the curriculum is targeted to middle schools. So that's kind of sixth through eighth grade, although it can easily be adapted to upper elementary and up to high school. And the video materials are good, really, kind of four through college. So the activities are very engaging, experiential kinds of things where, for example, we have one called Story of Food, where the kids become food detectives and they really study the origin of different food products, both processed and whole,
yes,
and start to learn distinctions like what does organic mean? How far did it travel? You know, what were the production methods? What are the ingredients? Yes. And, you know, kids love to, you know, pull back the curtain. And once they do, they think about food entirely differently.
Well, and that middle school age is when we all were, and kids still are, starting to question things. And so it's a perfect time to engage them in that questioning process about their food.
Exactly. And, you know, some of the other activities, we have one on local and seasonal food, and the kids build a seasonal food wheel, where they start to understand those cycles and rhythms of nature and when foods are fresh. And, you know, that's a very new idea to many kids, you know, so that starts to change their thinking. And we have one on food traditions where they start to reflect on, you know, what food culture they've come from and what food culture they live in. You know, we have ones on analyzing food advertising because we want them to be, you know, really hip about how corporations are marketing products and, you know, able to discern messages and things like that. And we have ones where they evaluate their school lunch program and then make recommendations for making it more sustainable and locally sourced. So it's just this wonderful range of activities that get kids right into the thick of thinking about their food system.
And this is, and what this sounds like to me is you're creating the opportunity for them to come up with their own answers. You're not telling them what to do. You're not telling them that this is right and this is wrong. Through these activities, you're allowing them to come up with their own conclusions on these particular topics.
That's essential. You know, what you want to do is get them thinking about the big ideas and then coming to their own conclusions. And that's why we're really excited that the culminating project, if you will, for the whole curriculum is what we call action projects. And so after being steeped in a lot of these ideas, the kids working in small teams design a community service project around food. And we're just starting to get some feedback from teachers about what's going on there, you know, all sorts of creative initiatives.
So how does that physically look? If a teacher wants to request this package, he or she gets an entire set of activities, or how is it organized when you get that package? What does it look like?
Well, I'm pleased to say that the Nourish curriculum is freely available to anyone in the country or world.
Which would be the next question, but that's actually phenomenal. This is a very, I'm sure, costly endeavor to create it all and to offer it ongoingly, but it's completely free. Any teacher can call your organization and request this.
Well, they don't even have to call. All they have to do is go online, and it's one click away. And what it is you'll get a PDF download that's an 84-page document and beautifully designed in color. And you can, you know, print out what you need to reference, things like student handouts or instructions. So, you know, that's the resource. And then you can draw on these video tools to enhance it. It's not required. You can use the whole curriculum without any of the video. But we give lots of suggestions about how to use the video to complement the learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What's the response been like from schools?
Oh, it's been...
So you launched when? What's the launch date? Was just a couple months ago.
There have been two launch dates of significance. We released the curriculum in November of last year and almost immediately had thousands of downloads from educators. And, you know, to put that in perspective, we feel like anytime our materials go into a school setting, multiplication factor is that over a period of a year, that will probably end up reaching hundreds of kids.
Oh, yeah.
Over a few years, you know, gets up there into the thousands. So it's really significant when you get into a school community. So we had thousands of downloads then. And then April 11th of this year, we launched Nourish California. And that is a wonderful initiative that's making available all our materials, the curriculum, the DVD of videos, free of charge to any school in the state of California. And there's just a quick sign up online if anyone's interested.
So how's Nourish California different than Nourish, the curriculum you had before?
Nourish California is nested within the larger Nourish National Initiative. So it's the same curriculum. We have developed some standards correlation just for California so teachers can see how it connects to their curriculum. And I should say one of our real goals with the Nourish curriculum has been to make it multidisciplinary. You know, when you think about, well, where does food fit into the curriculum?
Everywhere or none at all, right?
Exactly. And so we designed it very carefully so it would meet national and state standards for science, for social studies, for health, and for language arts. And so there's lots of different ways to get it in. And our hope really is that food becomes an integrative theme across the entire curriculum, just as sustainability can be a wonderful integrative theme across the curriculum.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're speaking with Kirk Bergstrom here in the studio today, the founder and executive director of World Link, a nonprofit organization dedicated to education for sustainability. And their newest initiative, Nourish and Nourish California, a program to address food literacy among children. So back to Mark's question, what has the response been? It seems like when I have worked with teachers in the past or tried to improve school lunches, the answer is often that I'm so maxed out and we are so underfunded that bringing in something new is almost impossible, and yet having a tool like Nourish on your fingertips for free at no charge is exactly what it would take to help teachers bring in, which they often want, right? Bring in real life, and food is an area, as we said, that touches every single piece of our lives, every part, that they can bring in the easiest form. What has the response been? from teachers?
Well, it's been overwhelmingly positive, and we're inspired by what people do when they have access to these resources. Yeah, teachers are busy, that's for sure. And so when you have a package ready to go, they don't have to design the curriculum, they don't have to produce the video, and there's all sorts of suggestions about how to use it. That really helps them. So we're seeing all sorts of creativity. You know, many teachers kind of take our set of materials and then build a much larger food unit around it. And they include things like a visit to an organic farm or to the farmer's market or a tasting or some cooking classes. So it's really wonderful to see how...
And you have suggestions in there anyway,
exactly.
Right? Where they can go as far as they possibly want.
We have a lot of suggestions. And sometimes, you know, the video resources are used for something like a parent night or a teacher professional development workshop. You know, what we think is really great is the idea that in any community, in a school, being a microcosm, you have to get everyone involved in the conversation. And so, you know, the Nourish materials can serve a teacher, they can serve a food services manager, they can serve a farm-to-school coordinator, a garden coordinator. So all of those people, you know, can be part of kind of building that conversation.
And you have lots of collaborators that you are working with. I mean, I looked at your list of all the people who somehow participated in the project, either by supporting it or with materials or information. And I mean, everything from the Center for Eco Literacy to the Interfaith and Power organization. Tell us how you're working together with all these organizations to actually help guide this process.
Yeah, the power of collaboration is sometimes a difficult task, too.
It is true. But this is a collaborative enterprise when we talk about transforming our food system, and it's going to take all of us. And, you know, I think the food movement is often not clearly defined because there's so many organizations, and so many have, you know, kind of a special niche that they occupy. And a lot of them are very local, you know, because food is local. So what we've tried to do is put together a constellation of partners that can help us to not only develop content and programs, but then get it out widely. And it's been fascinating. We're working with groups as diverse as the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, based in Atlanta. You know, and I recently spoke to 100 of their grantees and did a presentation at CDC headquarters for their top executives. And they're really eager to connect food system literacy with public health, because that connection has not always been there. And we're dealing with folks like Slow Food USA, which, you know, has a wonderful network of local chapters and many, many others. So, yeah, I think we have to acknowledge that the collaboration is essential. And we try to be a platform that everyone can stand on, that our materials are about making whatever you do better, you know, allowing you more tools to connect with the public.
And I want to go back to one of your collaborators, the Interfaith Power and Light organization. And I've always felt like there's such great energy in when you are practicing your faith, and it's faith in action. But I've always felt like there was a disconnect between that and food.
Or ecology at large, really.
And could you elaborate on how that partnership has worked for you?
Yes, I'm really delighted to talk about that. Well, you know, churches and faith-based groups, I think, have always been a hotbed of a reflection on ethics, a reflection on community, of being engaged in the earliest kind of grassroots level of social change. So they're a natural place to cultivate this conversation. And Interfaith Power and Light is a nonprofit that was founded a number of years ago to really deepen the conversation about energy and climate change within congregations. And recently, they have begun to shift and look at the connection between energy and food, because obviously there are many. And so they reached out to us about doing a partnership on a program that's now being called Cool Harvest. Mm. And the idea is to, you know, use the Nourish materials in faith-based communities to really talk about the role of food. And this launched just about a month ago, I think, and it is already in 500 congregations.
Cool as in climate change or cool as in hip?
Both.
Yeah. What's the difference?
Or
anyway?
Country of origin labeling.
Yes. It's in 500 congregations.
And if a congregational member is listening to this and would like to get plugged in, go to the Interfaith Power and Light website and look up Cool Harvest, and you can access the materials there.
And again, all of this is free, which is phenomenal and amazing nowadays, because the production, I'm sure, was not cheap in any way. Kirk Bergstrom in the studio with us today talking about eco-literacy and food literacy for children. Kirk is the founder and executive director of World Link, a nonprofit dedicated to education for sustainability, and also the creator, among many other collaborators in this effort, of Nourish, the Nourish curriculum and the Nourish initiative. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FreyWine.com.
Hi, my name is Earl Herrick. I started Earl's Organic Produce over 20 years ago to bring the best certified organic produce to the San Francisco Bay Area. Still today, Earl's Organic Produce is sourcing only organic fruits and vegetables. Our core principle is healthy relationships with growers, the environment, and the clients we serve. If you are a business interested in offering the most delicious organic produce to your customers, please visit us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
And we're back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about nourishment through knowledge and experience. With us in the studio is Kirk Bergstrom, the creator of the Nourish curriculum and the Nourish initiative, teaching food literacy to children.
So, Kirk, now you've had some people go through the program. Now that young people have had the opportunity to do this detective work, to have this experience with the curriculum, have you seen, or can you give us a story or a perspective on how, by them taking this program, how that has had an effect on others around them?
That's a great question. Well, you know, one of the things that excites me about working with young people is they are such natural social change agents.
It's infectious.
And I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, young people are leaders today, not just tomorrow.
Right, right.
So what we see is as they begin to enlarge their perspective and get the sense of being connected to a food system, they want to take action. And, you know, all sorts of initiatives emerge. And so we're seeing students that really want to get involved in transforming school lunch and are working with the administration or food service staff. You know, we're seeing kids that really understand, wow, you know, growing our own food would be powerful, and do that through school gardens or at home. And, you know, lots of conversations come up around, you know, the food that kids are eating and buying. And I think a lot of that gets taken home to the dinner table and they start to ask their parents, well, is that organic, or do we know where that came from? You know, was it grass-fed? You know, these important kind of distinctions. And so we really see that from the classroom the dinner table is a very natural, you know, flow. And I'll just share a short story. Back in February, we did a Nourish workshop for about 80 young people, both college and high school students, that were gathered at the University of California, Santa Cruz, for this enormous youth convergence around food and social justice. There were 300 students from throughout the state. And we really worked with them to understand what food literacy was and how they could create food literacy in their own schools and communities. And we immediately began hearing back from them. Oh, we just organized a film festival and a workshop. And, you know, we're working on, you know, getting at least 20% of the food in our cafeteria sourced locally. And, you know, so it's just wonderful to see what happens. And I'm hopeful that this new generation is going to be, you know, the real energy behind some of the policy shifts that we need to make, and will hold their elders accountable.
And it's kind of fascinating when you, you know, the one thing that connects us all that we touch several times a day is food, right? And there are energy initiatives, there are, you know, waste management initiatives, there's political or social justice issues that are addressed on campus, in schools, and as they are addressed throughout societies. And yet, food is the one thing that touches all those aspects too. The way food travels, the way it is grown, what will happen to it afterwards, the compost, which areas of, you know, school lunch to cafeteria food to your home, then at your meal at home that evening with your parents, really literally the farmer's market walk as a family activity on weekends. It's really amazing how there's not one area in life that is not in one way or another connected or touched by food. So if you put food and kids together, that's a very successful matchup of power, of possibility.
Oh, I agree. And I think, you know, one of the most amazing things about, you know, getting our food system right, really creating a healthy, sustainable food system, is we solve multiple problems at once.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of issues where you can do that. So if we have a healthy, sustainable food system, we're going to address climate change. We're going to address public health and things like the obesity epidemic.
Use, whatever, yes.
Yeah, social justice and food access, environmental degradation. So this is one of those rare issues where if you get it right, wow, the ripple is fantastic.
And everybody benefits.
It's a win-win.
So your eyes are glowing. How has this work changed your life? I mean, you have been connected to social issues, but it seems like food found you too, as you found food. How has this been in more detail than, you know, obviously a wonderful experience working with all these other collaborators and seeing the result in schools now and getting that beautiful feedback, but really on a personal level, how is this from now on your topic, or what's next in the life of Kirk Bergstrom?
Well, it's certainly an issue that I want to stay committed to. And I think it is because you can palpably sense this emergence,
yes,
of citizens that want to be responsibly in control of the food they eat, the food they feed their children. And so what is tremendously inspiring to me is to watch the food movement in action. And in putting together our collaborators, I mean, you just run across such incredible work that's being done. And there's individual mothers who are doing it, you know, in their kitchen, you know, individual teachers in the classroom, you know, people in their congregation. So it's happening everywhere. And I think what we need to do is make that visible. And hopefully one thing that Nourish can do is be sort of, you know, a chronicler of the food movement, to help to give voice and image to what's happening. So, you know, the way it's changed me is just it kind of reaffirmed my, you know, faith in humans taking action on issues that they're concerned about. You know, it's also made me much more conscious about, you know, what I eat, where my food comes from. And, you know, I've gained such respect for farmers and farm workers and the people that are along that food chain before it reaches us. So, you know, food is this amazing journey that really is so rooted in the ecology of the land and of place. And, good thing we were designed with taste buds, because it's one of the most pleasurable things I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. And yes, how beautiful. Food is not a thing. It's a journey. Yes, we'll keep that in our minds and hearts. We're talking with Kirk Bergstrom, the founder and executive director of WorldLink, a nonprofit dedicated to education for sustainability, and their new flagship program is the Nourish Initiative, the Nourish Curriculum, and the whole package around food literacy for children and adults, actually, on nourishlife.org. A great, great website, lots of trailers, video-based. So you mentioned that conference in Santa Cruz that was really more for children, but you do have adult initiatives too. You have teacher trainings coming up. Tell us about the support network of implementing Nourish. If somebody was listening to this now, teacher or somebody who knows a teacher or wants to get involved in one way or another, where do you start? You go online, you can download all this for free. You find the world of support around that, depending on your own circumstances of how you will use it. And there's an associated document that teaches you how to teach it, right? But you don't stop there. You offer teacher trainings and upcoming events.
Yes, and I think for people looking to get involved, I would say, how do you want to start a conversation, and what do you want that conversation to lead to? You know, part of our philosophy is to link learning and action, to really view that as a continuum.
Yes.
So if you're a parent, you can draw on some of our short films to start a conversation in your family, or have, you know, a conversation about some of the topics on the website. If you're a teacher, you can download the curriculum.
Or if kids want to get their parents involved, right?
Yes, either way, that's for sure.
Yes.
If you're a teacher, you can download the curriculum and access other learning tools. If you're in a congregation, you can, use the materials there. And they're great for community gathering. So often what will happen is that someone will, order this DVD that has a half hour PBS special on these 11 short films. And they'll put together a program that includes, screening some of the material, perhaps a panel or a speaker, maybe a tasting that brings together local farmers and chefs. And what we always encourage is that's the beginning of forming some alliances, forming a vision, and that leads to some kind of action. And we don't tell people what that is. That's something that really does organically bubble up. But you need a place to bring people together. So a screening is a great way to do that, and we encourage that as a starting point.
Great.
So let's just say that every school in America is using the Nourish program. What do you think the world would look like in 20 years?
Love the vision. I think we would have healthier families, healthier communities, a healthier natural environment. I also think that there would be a new ethic that students would carry with them that really was rooted in an ecological view that sort of reflected an understanding of the principles of sustainability. And these are such important things. We really have to get these embedded in our schools. These are not afterthoughts. This is the foundation for the future we want to build. I hear a lot of talk about the green economy, but I see a real disconnect between what we're teaching in schools and how we're going to get there. I mean, we need leaders who can really build sustainable green businesses and industries and be, policymakers and so forth. So we've got to get this into the schools. And food, being personal, being intimate, being something that we all practice, is a great way to get that started.
And this goes beyond politics. The great thing about what you're talking about is it goes beyond all those, necessarily this is the right way, this is the wrong way. It goes to a place where that's almost natural that for us to want to go is what I get from this conversation.
Yeah, and so true. You were almost talking about the land ethic. Aldo Leopold spoke a lot about that. And with initiatives, it's always interesting how then the rest of society catches up when a certain group leads a certain effort. And in the beginning of the show, you said 5-6 years ago, there was this vibrancy in the air around food. You could feel it. I totally remember it. I just become the executive director of Marin Organic, a small, little, powerful organization creating an all-organic county in Marin County. And there was a national vibe going on, excitement about food. We knew it would change, right? The level of eco-literacy would change, but it doesn't change in every level of society at the same time. We had Michelle Obama a year later putting in that organic garden, or 2 years later at the White House. And yet, children's literacy, the educational piece, the school involvement from school lunch to the classroom, was kind of underserved. It was not brought into the same movement, into the same dynamic excitement. It was more like a restaurant chef driven, plus, you know, local farmer. The chef and the farmer met, and people were discovering all the associated benefits beyond, way beyond flavor and health that came with it. And it seems like that Nourish is the first real, and great work has been done, no doubt there. But Nourish is the first initiative that I know where it's really a concerted, collaborative effort that is California-wide and national, addressing the classroom and yet going so much beyond. Is there anything like it? I mean, we don't really want to compare, but really on that level of trailers, of technical involvement, of different media, all that for free, in the quality it was done, it's unprecedented. Is that fair to say?
I do think it's the most comprehensive and integrated food literacy initiative. And what we hope to do is, you know, surface all the great work that's already been done, because there are tremendous resources.
Yes, it's like
available.
The missing piece, right?
And by the way, on our website, we recommend a lot of those resources and those organizations. So we're definitely trying to feed the health of the whole community. But yeah, I think we're at a historical moment where I think people are aware, they're interested. And at a time like that, you want to offer the resources that accelerate
the
movement.
Yeah, it's almost like a guiding principle, right? A guiding document, a guiding, in this case, curriculum that we can all agree on, that we can all march forward with, but that communicates the issues how we all would communicate them. It's remarkable. Last question, Kirk. We're almost out of time, but such a pleasure, and what a great conversation and what a great project. How can people get involved? How can they support you? What is needed now on your end for people who hear this, who get excited about this?
Well, we invite you to visit the website at nourishlife.org, and just explore and find what resonates with you. And you know, use the video resources to open a conversation. You know, recommend the curriculum to a school. Recommend the DVD to a public library in your area. And really, you know, just start that conversation in whatever, you know, circle you are in. It may be your family circle, it may be your school, it may be the community, it may be larger. But it's so important we talk about these things and we voice our aspirations and our vision. I don't think there's anything more exciting than getting people to talk about the future that they want to create. So let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Bergstrom, the founder and executive director of WorldLink, a nonprofit dedicated to education for sustainability, and their new flagship program, Nourish, raising eco-literacy and food literacy for children and adults alike. Nourishlife.org is the website. Check it out. An amazing resource, nourishlife.org. Thank you, Kirk, for being in the studio today. What a pleasure.
Pleasure for me.
Keep up the fantastic work. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Gina Rustani.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up next is Beth Greer and Your Supernatural Life. A great show right after the show, so please stay tuned. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back. Same here, same place, same time next week. See you then, and thanks again for being part of An Organic Conversation.
Bye-bye. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be